Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio, presented by Nextmoto Champion, is here, bringing you up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National Racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. Sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on. And now, here's your host, Corey Texter and Scotty Dubler.
We are back, folks. It's been a couple weeks absence since we've been on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show, but as I just mentioned, we're back, and it's good to be back, actually. It's been probably about 3 weeks, Scotty, since we've been on the show. Looking forward to talking some Flat Track and also speaking with our guest on tonight's show. Dalton Gauthier is going to be our first guest. Now, me and Scotty just had a debate over how to say his last name. I thought it was Gauthier. I should know this. Pretty close with the kids. So I always call him Gutenberg, so that's all I always call him. But Dalton Gauthier, Scotty, how'd you say it?
Well, everybody told me at the Amateur Nationals to say it Gauthier.
Gauthier, so okay. You're probably right. I'm probably wrong. I'm not too good at pronounce names. I can barely pronounce my own sometimes. But Dalton is going to be on our first segment, and then our second segment is going to be Kenny Coolbet Jr., fan favorite, super sick motorcycle racer. The guy does amazing things on a motorcycle. Three-time, you know, GNC1 champion, so I'm excited to get him on. The ironic thing, Scotty, about both of those two riders is they have something in common. They're both living in Florida right now, doing some – well, Coolbet just moved down there from Connecticut, and Dalton is living down there right near where I was just recently, near West Palm Beach, Florida, doing some training. So two Northeastern riders – now living in Florida, we're going to have them on the show here to see what their off-season plans have been and what they've been up to. So that's what we got going on, Scotty. How have you been, buddy?
Not bad. Just want to say happy holidays and happy New Year to all of our listeners, and we appreciate everybody for tuning into the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. But I have been really good. Can't say have anything to complain about. I just wish there was nicer weather already. I know you had some, you had some nice weather down there in Florida, but you're back in PA already. So how was Florida and how was the training down there?
Florida was awesome. It was, I've never been to Southern Florida, at least that I can remember. It's for 3 hours south of where I usually go to in, you know, Daytona area, Port Orange. It's way different down there near Miami, et cetera. I mean, the ocean is super blue. There's more palm trees. It's crazy. I think I saw more Porsches and Maseratis than I did Hondas and Fords. I mean, the luxury down there is amazing. I did a lot of cycling on A1A, all the way from West Palm Beach down to Delray Beach, Lake Worth, and man, I saw so many nice houses and cars. It was unbelievable. One house we actually saw, we looked it up. It was a $28 million house, Scotty, parked right out front. You know, I had a limo out front, and we were biking right from the, like, 100 feet from the front door of this house. So it was unreal. I had a good time. The weather was great, 85 degrees and sunny. Got a lot of biking in, did some running, some CrossFit. I did some CrossFit training with Jared Meese there on Christmas Eve, and he whooped my butt. I've been doing so much cycling and running lately that I kind of been slacking on the weights. So since I work out with Jared, I've been really doing a lot of CrossFit, getting my strength back, and so next time I train with him, I can hang with him a little bit. But no, the vacation, quote unquote, was good. Now I'm back in PA, in the Alaska tundra. It feels like it's freezing up here, but it's part of the game, man. Part of you know, living. It's, you know, all about where you live, and unfortunately, my family decided to make base here in Pennsylvania, where the summers are scorching hot and the winters are freezing cold.
Yeah, well, I'm just checking you out on Skype, and I like your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajamas. I think those are rocking. I think you ought to make some letters like that.
I'm a huge Ninja Turtle fan. That's funny you say that. I just got them for Christmas. So yeah, right rocking on. The Ninja Turtles. Yeah, that's funny. I can't make fun of you right now. Usually you have, you know, you're in a bedroom with flowers, and it's like your daughter's bedroom, so I can't knock you on that right now. It looks like you're in a kitchen somewhere. So.
yeah, exactly. So the new rules package came out. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it. The biggest thing that I noticed just looking at it, you know, real quickly was the point standings are different for the Grand National GNC 1 class Dash for Cash. And I think I like that rule. It's going to pay 1 point to win the Dash for Cash and no points for anybody else. Still going to pay $1,000 to win, but more importantly, what I think is more important is how you finish in the Dash is how you're going to have the first six picks in the main event, and I think that's pretty cool. What are your thoughts on that, Corey?
As I was kidding before the show, it's very rare that I make a Dash for Cash, but no, I think it's cool. I like it. You know, it's most of the riders, I think, will like it also. 5 points is pretty steep for a four-lap race, and if you have any kind of issues there in a heat race or whatever, missing out on you know, 3, 4, or potentially 5 points is pretty huge for your championship, you know, run. And, you know, I think a lot of guys will like it. The majority of guys are for it. You know, I know Sammy Halbert typically does really well on Dash for Cashes, and, you know, he might, you know, be against it. I haven't heard either way. And another surprise in the press release I saw, Brad Baker was actually for the rule change, and that was kind of surprising to me, Scotty, because if I can remember correctly, he's always done typically well on Dash for Cashes also. So, but no, I like it. When you know, you're either a hero or a zero, as I was just talking to Matthew Miles before the show, you either win, you get a point, or you, you know, second through, you know, six, you don't get anything. So, you know, you do get money, as you mentioned, but any rider would tell you they'd rather take the points than the money. Any, you know, championship rider, you know, going for a title. So I like the rule. I think it's cool. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, as a announcing standpoint.
Well, you know, it's going to be different for sure. And it's, you know, it won't be as important now to finish in the top two spots of your heat race. Yeah, it's going to get you directly into the main event and everything, but not quite as important. But what is important too now is every position, you know, every position is going to be very important as to where you start on the front row of the main event. I think that's very crucial. You know, instead of going off of your times from your heat race, I think it's going to be very crucial to how you finish in the Dash. So as, you know, the points, I'm okay with that. You know, 1 point to win, that's okay. But I like it now, how you finish in the Dash, how you line up in the main event. That's, I think that puts more emphasis on the Dash for Cash. So I like that. I like both of them, actually.
Yeah, that part of it is pretty cool. I was also wondering, you know, 7th through 18th, it goes off heat race time. So they take the top two out of each heat to the Dash for Cash. Those six, how you finish in the Dash will determine the front row. Then does the third place in the fastest heat race time get 7th pick? Or does the third place rider, whoever wins the Dash, that third place rider in that heat race, do they get 7th pick? It's kind of confused on that. I would think that they're still going to have heat race times, of course, and then the third place rider in the fastest heat will get 7th place pick in the main event. And starting positions are crucial. Not so much in the GNC level as it is on like a local race. Sometimes at these local races you go to, there's literally only two good spots on the front row. You know, there might be two spots on the groove, and everything else is in dry dust. And it's not as crucial in the, you know, in the Grand National Championship events, because typically the AMA does a pretty good job of trying to make the starting line equal as possible. On the short tracks, it's kind of, you know, important to be on the bottom. You know, it's quickest line in the first corner is obviously on the inside, and you can get boxed out in the middle. But for me as a rider, I either want to start on the bottom or on the outside on almost every track I go to. It just gives you some breathing room. If you're in the middle of the starting line and you get a bad start, you get pinched off, you could go from, you know, third or fourth to 10th or 11th or 12th quick. So I always like bottom or top. If I'm on the top and I get a bad start, at least I can, you know, running around the outside of guys, you know, make a last ditch effort and try and get up to the lead pack. So the starting positions is important. And I think it's pretty interesting to see how it all will, you know, play out this year with the new rule that they just came out with.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep an eye on it. And I do agree, you know, the outside, you know, of the front row, sometimes it does pay off if you can get a good start, maybe get up to the groove faster, get more traction, depending on which track we go to, of course. You know, like Daytona, if you can get up there on the groove, you know, that does help for sure going into the turn number one. But I like you, if you come off the bottom and get into the first corner first, it doesn't really matter who's on the outside. So either way, it's going to be very important to get a good start. And you know, I like the new rule change. I think it's going to be really cool, and we'll have to see how it plays out. So man, I'm just ready for Daytona. I don't know about the countdown anymore or not, Corey. But are you ready or not?
Oh, I'm ready, buddy. Yeah, I think I saw today it was 58 days to Daytona, so that's pretty cool. AMANationalNumber.com, they keep doing this countdown, and it's pretty cool to see, you know, the history of the national numbers. We had Don LaRue on the show not too long ago. He was one of our more recent guests, so it's pretty cool what they're doing there on Facebook and then showing everyone who had that number in the past and, you know, the countdown to Daytona. So it was also really cool. Well, I don't know if it was cool, but it was kind of neat that on Aaron Creamer's birthday, it was 64 days until Daytona, and obviously Aaron Creamer was national number 64, and he was a rider, a really talented rider from the Northeast, who passed away in a racing accident in I think it was Sturgis, Scotty, back in, I think it was 04, 05. I was just starting my career, but no, it's just cool. Some of the guys who had my number, I didn't even know about it until I saw that website, so it's pretty neat what they're doing, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the countdown. I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor of the show, Tommy Duma. Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers. They have a lot of great jewelry, flat track related jewelry, all that good stuff. TDFJ.com is the website. Make sure you guys check it out. A little rusty, Scotty. I haven't talked on the talk show in a couple weeks here, but we're getting it done. I'm excited to have our guest on the show.
Yeah, I'm super excited about both of them. We'll figure out the proper pronunciation of our first guest's last name and see who's right, Corey or myself, and hopefully we'll figure that out pretty soon. And I also can't wait to talk to Kenny Coolbeth. I know just as a fan, as an announcer, I know he had, you know, a super year last year. I know it wasn't the results that he was looking for, but excited to see and hear what's going on with Kenny, and hopefully he's ready for next year, or this year, I should say.
Yeah, this year. Coolbeth is a special rider. You know, I've had this conversation with many people before about the way riders age and if they get better, if they get worse. Some riders get better with age. You know, you have guys like Joe Kopp, who basically the older he got, the faster he was. You know, he improved with age, I think, Scott. You know, he won a championship in 2000. But, you know, Chris Carr was out that year. He did the Formula USA series. So I wouldn't say it was, you know, put an asterisk next to his name. I mean, there's a ton of guys who raced that year. But I honestly think Joe Kopp's best years were the last couple of years he raced. You know, the full series there, he was second or third in points every year the last 5 years, it seemed like. And there's some guys who kind of slow down with age. But Coolbeth, he doesn't look any older now than he did when he was in his mid-20s. You know, his facial expressions, you know, his fitness level, the way he rides a bike. I mean, sometimes when the guys get older, they ride the bike more, they two-wheel it more, they're more on, you know, throttle control, et cetera. And Coolbeth just, his style is, it resembles, you know, kind of like a Breyer Bauman who's far from old. You know, it's he's an aggressive rider, and what did he win, 3 races last season? That's pretty special for, I think he's 37. So he's definitely a championship contender again this season, and without a couple of DNFs last year, he would have won 2 or 3 more races.
Yeah, and like he said, you know, every time he got on the podium, he said, man, I'm just out here having fun. And you know, if he's having fun again this year, it's going to, you know, I think you're going to have to keep your eyes up for him. I think he's got a good shot at the championship, and I know he wants the number one plate back really bad. So I'm interested to see what he's been doing in the offseason. Now he's moving to Florida. He can train. He can ride a lot more than being up in the Northeast. So hopefully we'll get to hear about that and how his transition to being married. He got married at the end of the season, and his transition to Florida. So can't wait to talk to him in our second segment.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is for sure, Kenny rides. You know, he rides a lot. I don't know what he does for physical training and stuff, but the guy's really strong. He doesn't seem to get tired during the races, and he rides a lot. I used to do some training with him up in Connecticut every winter. We'd go and ride some indoor motocross, you know, some ice riding and stuff like that, and I was an 18, 19-year-old kid, and he would ride an hour before me and an hour after me. So the guy loves to ride motorcycles, and I think that's why he's been so successful over the years of his career, because he just loves to do it. It's all a guy thinks about, too. You know, we're over at his house. He don't know anything about sports. He don't know anything about movies. He could tell you anything about flat track, but he doesn't know anything about anything else. He just his whole life has been dedicated to flat track motorcycle racing. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, if he does, if he knows that much about flat track, maybe he could be an announcer when he gets done racing. That'd be pretty cool to take some of his knowledge and move on over to be an announcer when he quits racing. So we're going to take a short break, get our first commercial out of the way. Again, thanks to Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers. And we come back, we'll have our first guest. Our first guest will be on the line in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. What does flat track and jewelry have in common? Tommy Duma, former GNC National number 26 and 62.
This is Tommy Duma, and I want to personally take care of all your jewelry needs. My team and I will custom design and handcraft any type of racing jewelry, from custom number plates to steel shoe pendants and any precious metal. You can even send us your favorite photo, and we'll recreate it as a stunning pendant or ring of your choice. Besides custom racing jewelry, Tom Duma Fine Jewelers is home to the nation's top designers like David Yurman and Rolex. We offer the best names in engagement ring designers like Tacori, Verragio, Michael M., Danoff, Simon G., A. Jaffe, and many more. With direct connections to one of the world's largest Israeli diamond cutters, I can guarantee that TDFJ diamonds will have more sparkle. This also means that our diamond prices are as competitive as any brick-and-mortar jewelry store or anything that you can find on the internet. Helping past and current GNC racers with their jewelry needs since 1982. I look forward to becoming your trusted jeweler as well. Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Check us out at TDFJ.com.
We are back. Tuesday night, Flat Track Weekly Radio. Like I said earlier, Scotty, I'm feeling really rusty. I feel like I've never been on a talk show before. I don't know what I'm doing. We're slacking a little bit. We're losing Skype. We're not paying attention to each other. Feel like a nervous novice. But, no, we're back Tuesday night. Our first guest is on the line. And this is a rider I grew up watching, Scotty. He grew up not far from me in Pennsylvania. A lot of the people around here said that, he really resembled my style growing up, my racing style. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he's fast, so I'll take it as a compliment. On the line right now, he's a Pennsylvania rider currently living in Florida, is Dalton Gauthier. Now, Dalton, can you pronounce your last name for us?
Hey, guys. It's Dalton Gauthier. Gauthier.
There you go.
Gauthier.
That's right.
All right.
Scotty wins.
Scotty was right. We had a little argument about it, but no. Okay, so got that straightened out. Let's talk about what you've been up to, man. I don't know if we've ever had you on the show, but you've been taking the amateur world by storm the last couple seasons, and this coming year you're turning GNC2 for Daytona. Let's talk about your off season and the plans for this coming year.
Yeah, well, we decided to move down to Florida and start training and getting ready for Daytona, and been doing a lot of mountain biking, did some mini bike riding with you a lot down right by my house. We do a lot of running, and this weekend we're going to go to Lake City 3/8 Mile. SDTA is doing it, and we're going to go down there and race this Saturday.
Dalton, you've been racing for quite a while. I've called your name out several times. It seems like no matter where I go, a lot of times it's Speed Mace races. I call your name out, amateur grands, and you're always running up front. How did you get started racing flat track, and how long have you been racing flat track?
Yeah, I've been racing flat track for about 12 years now. My dad got me into it. He used to be a speedway rider. We used to race in Canada a lot, and when I had to go to school in PA, we started racing in PA, and that's how I met Corey when I was younger, and yeah, that's how it all started.
Well, you mentioned we did some mini bike riding, and that was awesome. There was a deep sand TT track that we were just spinning laps on all day, and I may not be the fastest flat track racer in the world, but I take a lot of pride in my mini bike riding, Scotty, and Dalton is one of the fastest guys I've ever rode with on an XR100. I was literally riding my face off trying to keep up with him, and I've ridden with some really fast guys. So it was impressive to ride with him. We got that heart rate up, getting a good workout in. And, like you mentioned earlier, he's won a lot of amateur races this past year. He's always up front. Now, I'm kind of curious, Dalton, with all that being said, what are your goals as your first year as a GNC2 rider? Would you be happy with top 10s? Do you want to win main events? What's the realistic goal this season?
Yeah, no doubt. put in good finishes. I'm gonna try and get top 10 every race. So just try and stay consistent and shoot for the championship. We got tough competitors here with Davis Fisher. I'd say he got a lot more to know about me because he has one more year on me on all the tracks with the Pro Series, and it's gonna be tough, but we're training for it and we're gonna go for it.
Dalton, do you have a big bike and a little bike to ride so you can ride every race this year?
Yeah, I'm going to be riding for the Scott Power Sports Triple J Racing SD07 and Scott Power Sports Yamaha.
Now, 450. You know, we mentioned the Amateur Nationals a little bit and you growing up in PA and you know, your dad, I think the biggest reason for your success, besides that you have an amazing talent on a motorcycle, but your dad, you know, he took you to a lot of races when you were younger. It seemed like every weekend, you know, I was racing the Pro Series, so I was traveling across the country chasing, you know, the DNC circuit, and they'd have support classes, and you were always there, you know, whether it was Illinois or down south or New York, Ohio. You guys were always traveling, competing against different riders and just, you know, experiencing all the different tracks. So I think you guys definitely did the right thing growing up, and I'm kind of curious to who your rivals are in the sport. You know, you've been racing a lot of these kids for many years. Do you have a rival, and who might they be?
Yeah, I mean, I've been racing with a lot of kids from my state. Like we got Tristan Avery, we got Ryan Varnes, we got a bunch of names I race with, and we could say that I got a couple rivals. I mean, me and Tristan Avery, we're pretty tough on each other. We battle a lot. We're good friends though, and it's fun.
So you're 15 years old. You turned 16 right before Daytona. You're living down in Florida. Does that mean you're being homeschooled right now? And if so, how long have you been doing that?
Yeah, I've been homeschooled since we started in December, and we'll be here all the way till Daytona, and then we'll be ready.
Well, your number for next year, you know, last year you've always been 14A. Is that going to continue to be your number for next season as well, or I'm sorry, this season?
Yeah, 14A is going to be my number. Look for it. 14A has been a number for my whole life, and we're going to keep with that number.
And Scotty mentioned he asked you about riding a big bike, which would be a twin. Have you ever ridden a twin before? And are you excited to, if you haven't, you know, are you excited to ride one?
Yeah, definitely. And no, I haven't ridden one yet, but we're hoping to get my twin ready for Oglethorpe before Daytona. If not, we're going to do a couple local races at Gratz Half Mile, like 20 minutes down the road from my house. So we'll do some testing there and a couple other tracks. But Springfield Miles is going to be my big race, my big debut on the big bike.
Dalton, we've been all around the country. You know, I've been, like I said, I've announced you quite a bit for no matter where we go. But do you have a favorite racetrack? And if so, which one is it?
Yeah, I mean, I like Springfield Short Track and Springfield TT. That's fun. It's always fun to go there. Great facility. It's fun. I wish they had it on the circuit still, but they don't. That sucks, kind of, but it's just we'll go on from there.
Now, what else do you do in Florida to kind of occupy your time? You know, you do a lot of cycling. I had you on the road bicycle. We did a 15-20 mile ride there the one day. You do some mountain biking, mini bike riding. What do you do, you know, besides that and schoolwork? Do you work down there? Do you, you know, what do you do for fun in Florida?
Yeah, I've been doing some work a little bit, not much, but with Triple J Racing, Jack and Josie Spedding. They have a big horse facility. It's called Driftwood Stables. I've been working there, helping out.
When you were going to school, did you play any other kind of sports, or are you just strictly all into racing?
Yeah, it's pretty much all into racing. I mean, racing is my passion. Pretty much all I've been doing my whole life, and nope, no sports.
Sounds good. Racing flat track your whole life. Do you have any heroes? Do you look up to anybody? And do you get to talk to any of your heroes at all?
Yeah, definitely. Chris Carr, I've looked up to my whole life pretty much. It's good. He's around me a lot, actually, this year. He's been helping me out with the Golden Tires a little bit, and I just love his style, and he's very, very consistent when he rides. And I got to race with him at Oglethorpe this year at the end of the race season, and it was fun. We had a pretty good battle. He almost crashed right in front of me, kind of scared me a little bit, but it was fun. Definitely racing with the old guys that made a true name for the sport. It's fun to race with them.
Well, you mentioned that Springfield Short Track and TT are your favorite tracks, but they're not on the schedule. Looking at the schedule now, what racetrack do you think you'll do your best on? What's the what track on the circuit are you most looking forward to compete at?
I've been looking forward to Daytona a lot. I mean, I've raced there a bunch of times, 85, 250s, 450s. I love that place. It's slippery short track, kind of suits my style, and I like it. And I've been looking forward to Peoria TT. I'm a TT rider, I think, and suits my background and motocross background, kind of. And I just want to go there and just do good.
That was going to be my next question. I was going to ask if you had any motocross in your background and what your thoughts were going to be on Peoria. So you just nailed that right on the head. So in the off season when you're in Pennsylvania, did you ride a lot of motocross?
Yeah, definitely. I actually live 30 seconds down the road from Pine Grove, the Flying Dutchman motocross track. It's I can ride right down the road to the track, and we could ride all day there. And a bunch of riders go down there. Johnny Lewis was down there this year. I don't know if Corey went, but a bunch of flat trackers go all the time.
I don't think I've been to it. It's been a while since I've been up to Pine Grove. Scotty, Pine Grove is the town where Dalton's from, and it's a stick in the woods, man. It's hard to find the town. It's been known to kind of harvest some really good racers, you know, but it's about an hour north of me, and it's a coal mining town, so that's where Dalton's from. And, you know, right now, as far as that goes, it's freezing up here, Dalton. So, you know, I came back from Florida earlier this week, and it's been snowing and icy, and I just want to come back down to South Florida and do some training again. But, no, we appreciate you coming on the show, taking some time. I know you're really busy training and your school and all that stuff. But I had one more question for you. Now, you rode Husqvarnas for a few years there as an amateur rider, and a lot of the guys in the GNC2 class race, the Honda 450s, it seems like 90% of them are on Honda's Ride in Red. Now, you're riding Yamaha. What do you think the difference between the brands are, and how you know, confident are you in the Yamaha that you're racing this year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm very confident in my Scott Power Sports Yamaha. You know, he got that thing perfect for me. I love it, and it's a shame to see all the Hondas out there. There's a lot of red out there. But, my Yamaha is working good, and I think we'll have it good for Daytona, and we can definitely put in a good solid finish.
Now, you said solid finish, and I asked you earlier what the goals were. So what would be satisfying for you at Daytona and this year? You know, what place are you looking at to try and get in the overall points?
Yeah, I want to definitely be in the top five in points. Daytona, you know, it's going to be tough. I'm going to try and do top five. Every race is going to be top five, so I can be consistent everywhere and go as many races as I can and stay in the hunt for the championship.
Man, I like your confidence. I like your goals. Dalton, we appreciate you coming on the show. Before we let you go, you want to thank any of your sponsors while we have you?
Yeah, definitely. South Power Sports, Triple J Racing, X-Brain Goggles, Death Family, SRT, Durrell Racing, Goodwin Racing, Don't Get Anything Free Racing, Arai Americas, Promos by C-Tech, Motion Pro, Spectra Oils, Webcam Shafts, Defile Laws, Saddleman, G2, Ergo, Rhino Power, Vortex. My supporters, my mom, my little sister McKenna, Whitmer Dirt Sports, Mike Frew, Super Trap, Media Marketing, Evans Coolant, Golden Tire, Light Shoe, and I'd like to shout out for my mechanics. My mechanics are going to be my dad and Anthony Crabb for 2015.
Well, you nailed it. Best of luck in the 2015 season. Thanks for coming on, Dalton.
Yep, thanks for having me.
That was Dalton Gauthier, number 14A. Keep your eyes out for him. He's a super fast, up-and-coming racer. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to the king of cool himself, Kenny Coolbath.
Shamira Exhaust Systems, supporting champions like AMA Pro Sport Bike Champion Martin Cardenas and the whole Yoshimura Suzuki Factory Racing Team. Yoshimura has become known for their unsurpassed quality and top performance that few others can match. For Yoshimura Racing updates, visit yoshimura-racing.com. And to see the latest race-winning performance products, along with dirt bike and ATV exhaust systems and accessories, visit yoshimura-rd.com. Yoshimura, made in the USA, built to win since 1954.
As I mentioned earlier, Scotty, the guest we have on now, you know, he's one of, I guess you could say, the veterans of the sport, but he's not slowing down. He seems to be getting stronger every year, and he never quits smiling either. He seems to be having a lot of fun racing motorcycle, as he always has. You know, he loves being at the track. He's on the line right now, and he's a three-time GNC1 champion, Kenny Coolbed Jr. Kenny, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're good. You know, I was just down in Florida. Sorry I didn't get to meet up with you. I know you guys did some riding and all that stuff. So Florida, you know, it's a big change from Connecticut where you're usually from. Let's talk about the move and how it's been going for you.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I've just been working on the house, and Rot's just started riding last couple, probably 3 weeks ago, and riding and training pretty hard. So just kind of getting the swing of things again and lining up everything for the new year. It's still pretty excited with everything with Team Zanotti, and it should be good. You know, everybody's kind of changing around a little bit in the field, so hopefully they kind of get a little flustered trying to figure out all their new stuff. We already got all our stuff figured out, so it should be a good year.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think makes you such a strong competitor is your mental game. You know, you're always confident. You go to every race thinking you can win. How important is, you know, being mentally strong at the track as it is being fast on a motorcycle?
Well, it's just as important as, you know, your physical condition, you know, and maybe a little more important. It's definitely a huge part of having your confidence and having confidence in the people behind you. So I'm confident, I'm happy, and ready to go racing.
It seemed like that's what you seemed like a common thing that came out of your mouth last year. When you got on the podium, it says, as long as I'm having fun, I'm running up front. So it seems like you had a lot of fun last year. I know you had a couple of tough breaks. The one that comes to my mind is Tankerstown. I picked you to win that one. I thought you had that one in the bag until you broke. But it seemed like you had fun all last year. So what's it going to take to win the championship this year?
Consistency, you know, some luck on our side, like no DNFs or, you know, stuff like that. It's, you know, being up front, being on the podium at least every race, you know, that's what it's going to take. There's a lot of guys that go fast pretty much everywhere. I have one big downfall on my on the schedule, which is Peoria, but, you know, I go there with high hopes and go there with I train my butt off for motocross and everything before I go there. So, you know, try to work on that, and hopefully we can get a top five there. Would be huge. And, you know, just do what I've been doing, you know, have fun and, you know, take it race by race.
Well, today, actually, just recently, they announced the change in rule for the Dash for Cash, specifically with, you know, the winner getting 1 point and everyone else kind of going pointless, but, you know, it determines the way they line up for the main event. Now, what are your thoughts on that rule? Do you like it, or do you like it the way it was the past few years?
I like it because it benefits me, because I'm not a sprinter. You know, four laps is pretty quick for me. I'm better in the long run, like the 20th lap or whatever. But it benefits me, and you know what? I think it's a good change up for our sport, and you know how they're gonna do it with lining it up in the main event, which would be cool for the fans to say, oh, that guy was the fastest in the dash, he won the dash. So gives them something to kind of talk about.
I got a question. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. How's married life treating you?
It's great. There's no complaints here. It's she's a good girl, and she supports me every day, really, you know. She keeps me going, so I can't complain.
Well, I got a text, actually, Kenny, just recently, and it's from Mike Hacker, and he wants to know who your best friend is.
Not him.
No,
Hacker and I have been great buddies forever. You know, there's he's been sending me these old pictures of him and I, and like years back, and you know, he's done a lot for my racing too. Me personally, he's you know, we have the Rod Academy together, and you know, where he works his butt off on it. I just pretty much show up and you know, help him out, but you know, it's good. He's a smart guy, and he watches every move that everybody does, and he learns from it, and he takes all that and tells us. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Ride Academy. You're you know, an instructor there. You're pretty involved in that school. How did that come about, and how did your involvement come about in that school?
Really, it's all Mike's doing. You know, he just called me up one day and you know, wanted to start a riding school, and I told him, I said, hey, I'm behind you. If I can make it, I'll be there. And you know, it's like I said, he does pretty much everything. You know, I don't even know what he charges. You know, I'm just there to help him and have him use my name to help promote the school. And hopefully continue doing that. That'd be a pretty cool opportunity, like, after my racing career, to for him and I to continue doing that and make it bigger.
Well, after your racing career, Corey said you have more knowledge about flat track than anything else, so I thought we should bring you up here to the announcing booth, and you could be my color commentator, so maybe you should do that when you get done racing.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to talk a little money and see what happens.
Well, when you're talking money, give me some too, would you?
Yeah, right.
Right. No, you had a great year, you know, last year. You know, I keep going back to Hagerstown. I wish you would have won Hagerstown. Have you put that behind you? Because I can't seem to let it go. I mean, you were so far out front when it broke and or when you had your mechanical issue. So this year, are you going there, you know, to win that one for sure? Is that your main goal right now? Are you looking for the championship? What's your goal going into 2015?
My main goal is to win the championship. That's my main goal. And be consistent. That's what it's going to take, is consistency. And, you know, Hagerstown, you can't stew on it. You know, it's just one of those things. You got to take the good with the bad. And, you know, it was no one's fault. It was just a mechanical failure. It was not because, you know, the bike didn't get checked over, or, you know, we didn't check it. But you'll have them. It's racing, and you know, it's a bummer, and you just forget about it. Really, it's tough to, but it's still in back of my head a little bit. What if, you know? What if there's a couple races? What if, you know, Sturges that got rained out, and I was going good there. And, there's a bunch of them, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, you mentioned being consistent is key to winning a championship, and I've never been in a championship run. You know, I'm more of a 10th through 12th place guy. It seems like I was last year, but you know, a lot of the guys, you know, Jared and Smith and Jake Johnson, those guys, it doesn't seem like they finish outside the top five as well as yourself. You know, it's you know, a bad day for them is fifth or sixth, and a good day is a winner on the podium. How important, you know, you mentioned consistency is key, but how important is race wins? You know, the way the points go, it's 23 for first, 19 for second, and 16 for third, and then it goes down in 1-point increments. So winning races definitely helps your, you know, your case for being a champion.
Yeah, definitely. Winning races, that's a goal of mine to do, but it's a little harder than just you know, going out there. You're not gonna win every race, and I'm gonna go to the racetrack thinking that, but it probably won't happen. But you know, it is it's gonna be a tough year. My biggest downfall is Peoria, the TTs. You know, it's just that I love Castle Rock and Peoria. I don't mind either. It's just I don't do well there, so. We're just gonna try to work hard prior to those races and see where my weaknesses are and try to address them.
Last year, it seemed like you were injured a little bit, and I don't think as many people knew about the injuries as you know, some of us close to the sport. You know, I think you had your wrist all bandaged up. I could give you a hard time like it was a knife or something that you could reach over there and push on your wrist, but it's actually just a support deal. So are you all healed up right now from all your injuries from last year?
Yeah, pretty much. After, like, a good day of moto in, my hand's still pretty sore, but other than that, everything's pretty good. You know, before the first Springfield last year, I broke my thumb, dislocated it, and ripped a bunch of tendons in it, and opted out of getting surgery because it was only, you know, the first race. So I just toughed it out all year, and ended up I didn't need surgery. It all healed by itself, and, you know, I just had it taped up all year, and it seemed to help. So that's what the bandage was.
Sounds good. Let's shift gears one more time. Did you get to watch the Super Prestigio, and what were your thoughts on it?
I did. I was a little bummed Jared didn't do it all, but he had some bad luck in the first corner of the third race, and you know, he did what he had to do. He represented U.S. well, and as well as Brad. So you know, it's pretty cool that we get that exposure. And it's pretty big for Flat Track, the U.S. Flat Track.
Now, I've asked this to a few other riders, and I'm going to ask you also, is there anyone who, when you're racing with, you can't stand to see in front of you, like a rival who you just hate when he beats you? You know, growing up, did you have a rival? Who's one rival in the sport today for you?
I don't really have any rivals. It's just, you know, I'm not.
That's
I'm not
what everyone
mean
says.
I'm not mean when I'm out there. I ride clean, and you know, rubbing, you know, here and there is all right. But you know, I don't ever, you know, there's no rivals for me. It's just I go to race clean and you know, do my thing.
You want to beat them all the same, right, Kenny?
Yep. I want to beat them clean. I don't want to take them out to do it. So rivals? No, I don't have any. It's just everybody's the same, really.
Yeah, I got a good question for you. You won so many Grand Nationals. What do you do with all the trophies?
Actually, my wife and I were talking in my office. You know, obviously we moved in, I don't know, 4 months ago or so, and you know, my office is stacked full of trophies, and actually I've thrown quite a bit out, you know, the ones that didn't really mean much to me, and you know, I need to figure out where I can put them all. It's I got some cool trophies. There's some cool stuff in my house, and you know, they're just dust collectors really right now.
Well, I used to come up and stay with you in Connecticut. Your basement was like a Kenny Coolbeth Museum. I could sit down there for hours and just check out all the cool stuff you had down there. You know, old leathers, helmets, trophies, and stuff like that. So. Between you and Chris Carr, man, you guys could start a little, you know, museum for flat track racing. You guys got some cool stuff. So I was curious, you know, I haven't been to your new house yet, but where exactly in Florida are you as, you know, as in comparison to where Daytona is?
We're just west of Orlando. So we're like Orlando Airport's probably 40 minutes for me. So it's a small town called Center Hill. It's the middle of nowhere. And, it's good, you know, just like I said, we've been working around the house, and, you know, that's about it, really, just enjoying the warm weather this winter. It's pretty crazy. We went up to Connecticut for Christmas, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough, so, but it's good. It's definitely different down here, but it's all good.
Is there anything you're going to miss about Connecticut? I mean, you spent your whole life there. A lot of your family's there. You know, is there one thing you're going to miss about being up in the Northeast?
Probably, I would say the fall. You know, the fall was pretty cool, you know, nice cool weather. Get to go ride in it and stuff. And the fall, it's nice up there in Connecticut. But, man, you can have it right this time of year. It's just, it's miserable up there, as you know.
Well, Kenny, I've been watching you for a long time. I think my first memory was back in 1991 at the Oklahoma City Half Mile National. You were running the 600, number 32U, and you put it in the corner. I was standing in turn number three, and I swear you put it in the corner deeper than anybody else did all night. And it's been an honor and a privilege just to watch you, and I admire the way you race, and I look forward to 2015. We appreciate you coming on the show. Do you want to say thanks to anybody while we have you here?
Yeah, definitely all my sponsors, for sure. Dave Zanotti, Zanotti Racing, is a huge, huge part of my program. He's a great guy and would do anything for me. And Chaplin Honda is actually Bird Eyes Honda from last year. They changed the name. They're going to be helping us out in the 450 program again. So them, Weisco Pistons, there's so many people, Strict Racing Gear, Bugner Racing, Motion Pro, G2, Kometic Gasket, K&N, Bazzaz, Arai Helmets, and the list goes on. So if it wasn't for all those guys, it's just any little bit helps. As you guys know, it costs so much money to do this, and we work pretty hard to try to gather our sponsors over the winter. And yeah, that's looking forward to a great year.
Well, once again, Kenny, thanks for coming on. It's hard not to be a fan of yours. You know, as another rider, I definitely appreciate you and all the things you've done for me. And much respect, man. Wish you luck this year, and thanks again for coming on.
All right, guys. See ya. Thanks.
That was Kenny Coolbeth, number two on the Grand National GNC 1 class. Catching up with him. Can't wait to see him in the 2015 season. We're going to take one more break, and we come back, we'll have our closing thoughts.
Motosport.com. Here you will find the Internet's most comprehensive catalog of products for your motorcycle. The amateur and pro racer, the daily commuter, and new riders. Shop Motosport.com for the best products at the best prices.
It's kind of funny, Scotty. Before I asked him the question about who his rivals were, I knew that was the answer I was going to get. He's just such a classy guy, man. He just, you know, just loves racing motorcycles. You know, is really positive about everything he does. And I think, you know, like I mentioned before, I think it's the reason why he's a 3-time champion. He's just a positive Patty. He's a really cool dude and a heck of a rider. So it was cool to have him on.
Yeah, I thought it was funny when you asked him who his best friend was, and you asked him if it was Mike Hacker, and he said, nope, not him. I thought that was pretty funny. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Matt Sibick from Lazy Days RVs, and their Tom McRoberts are working on his hot rod while they're listening to us on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. So a special shout-out to them. Thanks for listening into the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. If you have any suggestions or any guests you'd like to hear on the show, hit us up at Corey Texter, at Scotty Dubler on Twitter. Be sure and follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. So we appreciate all of our followers and all of our feedback we're getting. Corey's got something else.
Well, we have a surprise caller, Scotty, and we're going to cue him in right now. Who is our mystery caller on the line right now?
This is Mike Hacker. How are you guys doing tonight?
The Hackman.
I just wanted to call in and tell everybody how excited I am for Flat Track this year, and with the name change and all these new East Coast guys, because you know I'm an East Coast guy, and all these new talent with Dalton and Tristan and some other guys coming into the GNC2 class. And just for the record, me and Kenny Coolbeth are best friends, whether he wants to admit it or not. We joke around and say we're best friends during the week, but on Saturday we don't really have a whole lot to say to each other now.
No, were you guys always best friends, or, you know, growing up? I know you guys had a little bit of a rival going on. You know, you raced together quite a bit. So was it always the best friend deal, or did it kind of develop over time?
You know what? It's kind of funny. We were best friends from the first day at Volusia Speedway. I showed up in the back of an old pickup truck with some dirty old brown leathers. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody talked to me. And the Deuce was the first guy to come over there and say who he was. And we kind of hit it off and really been best friends ever since. He's one of the – it's 27 years now, and he's one of the – he's probably, I would say, probably the only guy that I can say that we've been best friends. I could call on him at any time. He can call on me at any time. We've worked together. We've worked against each other. We raced each other. And through all that, the friendship, you know, bond stayed, you know, strong through all of it. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We're really good friends, you know. He's a good guy.
What?
He does a lot for the sport. You know, a lot of people don't realize what he does with Ride Academy. You know, he is one of these guys like Chris Carr, and he's putting back into his sport, and he's trying to better it, and he's trying to teach these younger riders stuff that we didn't have available to us when we were that young, you know.
That's pretty cool that you guys have that friendship for such a long time. So what have you been up to over the off-season? Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, I had a really good holiday, you know. I just still getting used to the real life, you know, with my 9-to-5 job and writing loans and making friends and getting excited to go racing with Brad Baker this year. And ready for the season to start. I'm kind of tired of sitting around. I'm ready to go racing.
So you're working for Brad Baker and the Harley team, and then your best friends with Cool Beth. So if Cool Beth and Baker are out front battling for the win, who are you rooting for?
On Saturday, I don't have but one friend, and that's Brad Baker.
Man, you should be
there
a politician.
You need to
be a politician.
There's only one guy I want to win on Saturday, and then, you know, on Sunday, me and Kenny can high-five if he finished second. That's fine.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you stopping by and setting the story straight on who your best friend is, and we appreciate it. See you down in Daytona.
Yeah, see you guys. Thanks for everything you do, and I'm excited for Flat Track. Everybody should be excited.
There you go. Mike Hacker, national number 67 from a long time ago, and now he's turning the wrenches for the Bullet Brad Baker Factory Harley Rider. Appreciate him stopping by. Man, it's pretty cool. He stopped by and had set the story straight. And he's right. There's a lot of fast up-and-comers moving up into that GNC2 class. Some of the fast GNC2 riders moving up into the GNC1 class. So it's going to be an exciting year for sure.
Yeah, surprise callers are always good on the show, man. That's good. Mike Hacker's a funny guy. He's probably the funniest guy I've ever hung around with at the racetrack. It's very entertaining when you have a conversation with Mike Hacker. So it's really cool to have him on the show. Really talented racer, too, back in the day. He used to ride for my dad, Scotty, and had a lot of good memories. Rode our Buell Super Trackers back in the day and won a lot of races. So cool having him on the show as well. And, as Hacker said, man, it's a good time to be involved in the sport of flat track. I've mentioned this before, but with this, you know, the excitement overseas with the Super Prestigio and the possible X Games, you know, coming up. And one other thing, Scotty, I want to talk about before we wrap it up is the Troy Bivis Classic, and that's this weekend. So what are your thoughts on that event, Scotty?
You know, I'm excited to see it. I don't know how good that will do, you know, compared to what happened at the Super Prestigio, because the track's going to be a lot different. I hope, you know, Jared's been down there for quite a while getting some practice in. Sammy goes good down there. But it could be anybody's ball game. I'm not 100% sure what the track's going to look like this year and what the shape and configuration is going to be, but we're going to have our hands full this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident, actually. Jared, people don't realize it, but he's a really good TT rider. He's probably one of the most underrated TT riders there is right now. You know, he's always a front runner at Peoria. One year at Springfield TT, he was checked out, you know, past Henry Wiles or, you know, whatever it was, started in front of him and pulled away, had a wind going until his motorcycle broke. Castle Rock TT, he's always, you know, always up front. So I like our chances with Jared. And, of course, you have Henry. Henry's a really good 450 rider. He kind of struggled a little bit at the Troy Bayless race last year. I don't know whether it was the bike or getting used to the oil track. It's to me, it looks kind of like a really fast and tacky Castle Rock TT the way it used to be. I don't think there's any jumps from the footage I've watched. So, you know, you have Jared, who's really good at Castle Rock style track. Sammy Halbert's also there. He's our third American race. And so I like our chances. I don't see there being any reason why we can't have at least two Americans on the podium. Mick Kirkness, shout out to him. He's going to be racing out there. He's a Australian rider who's raced and competed in our GNC class for a few years now. Really cool dude. Man, he's amazing on a motorcycle. The stuff he does kind of blows my mind. Definitely a really interesting guy, likes to have fun. So wishing him well also. He's kind of like an imported stepbrother to many of the American riders here. And then I also want to give a shout out to Troy Bayless for putting on the race. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it's really cool having all these events overseas by top-ranked riders such as Mark Marquez and Troy Bayliss, et cetera. So it's cool to get Flat Track some overseas spotlight. And Troy's a heck of a rider, and he won the race last year. So definitely a shout-out to him. He'll be a tough competitor. I think Troy Herfoss is racing. He always does well. Past Supermoto rider. I think Jack Miller, MotoGP riders racing. Chris Vermeulen raced in the past. I don't have the full rider list. I've talked with Troy a little bit in the past weeks about the event, and hopefully I'm going to do an interview with him after the race. But, yeah, I'm excited for the Troy Bayliss Classic, Scotty. I'm hoping the Americans redeem themselves from Spain and they can pull off a sweep of the podium would be awesome. But I'm hoping for a win and two out of the three spots on the podium. I'm going to go with Jared and Sammy first and second, and then I'm going to pick either Bayliss or Kirkness for third. It's just the way I see it, you know.
What are you not even putting Wiles on the podium? Are you feeling okay?
Dude, I like Henry, you know, I really do. I think he has probably the most talent there is on a 450 motorcycle that we've ever seen. But just with the way the track is, the footage I saw last year, Sammy, I thought he would have won that race last year had he not crashed. And I know how strong Jared is. I don't want to talk Jared up too much, but I got a lot of respect out of the guy when I was training with him on New Year's Eve. You know, he's one guy that really has his program together, and it's the total package. It's you know, his physical conditioning, it's his motorcycles, top-notch motorcycles, putting a good team around him, Kenny Tolbert, his confidence is there. It's just I'm just a big fan of Jared. You know, he's you know, just the way he handles himself at the track, he's just really serious about what he does, and he takes this really serious. You know, this is his job, and a lot of people knock him for having, you know, all these sponsors and, you know, doing what he does here and there, but the guy he's a businessman and he's a racer, and I got a lot of respect for him, and I think on a track like the one the one I saw on the footage last year, I think Meese takes the win, and I'm picking Halbert for second. I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, if Henry got in there and grabbed a second or a third, possibly a win, but I think it's Meese, Halbert, and I'm gonna pick Kirkness for third. I'd like to see Mikko be up there on the podium.
What are they running for wheels and tires? Do you know that? I haven't even seen what they're running out there.
I'm not sure, Scotty. I think the hot setup is to run a bigger front wheel. I think some guys run 19s. I think Halbert might have. I'm not positive, but I think what's faster is the 21-inch front tires from what I've gathered, but we'll see. I know it's a really, really tacky track. You know, it's a fast racetrack, and there's a lot of separation. I don't know what the word is. I'm going to pretend I didn't say that word, but it's from the fastest guys to the slowest guys from the footage I saw last year, there's a huge difference. At the race in Spain, the Super Prestigio, it's such a basic, simple track, and it's slick, so close in lap times. But with a track like the Troy Bayliss race, it's, you know, the TT, there's more time to get away from guys, to catch up. There's more separation that takes place at a race like that. So if they get a bad start, they can kind of work their way through and make up time, whereas the Super Prestigio, as we saw with Jared Meese, you know, he lost a couple bike lengths right off the start in that first corner mishap or whatever, and he couldn't really find the time to make up the gap on Marquez, and then when he made up the gap, it was that much harder to pass him. So it'll be interesting to see how it all goes down. I want to give a shout-out to Miriam Flat Track Live. She's over there. She's going to be providing video footage on her website on Facebook, Flat Track Live. So I'm anxious to see how it all plays out. I'm bummed Brad Baker was going to go over there also. I'm kind of bummed with his injury that he didn't get to go over and compete, because he would have, he would have obviously been a front runner also. So I'm excited to see how it all plays out, Scotty.
Absolutely. So we'll have to recap that next week for sure. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. Great show. I thought both guests were awesome. You did a good job setting up our guests. And like I said earlier, if you have any suggestions for guests, hit us up on Twitter at Corey Texter, at Scotty Dubler. We will do what we can. If you have any questions or comments for the show, hit us up, and we'd love to hear from you. So that's all I got. Corey, you got anything else?
I think that's it, buddy. If it's something I forgot, we'll just have to address it next week. I do know we're going to have two really special guests on our show. They're really, really popular. One is a current road racer that's been starting to do some flat track racing. It's an overseas top road racer, so we're excited to have him on. And his father is actually a legend in the sport of motorcycle racing. So we're going to have those two guests on. And I'm waiting to hear back from the man, Nicky Hayden. If you're listening, got to get you on the show next week. We have a spot. If you're listening, we want to get you on. I saw Nicky's been doing some flat track testing out there at Paris with Race Tech, riding with Mikey Rush and Kale Kolkman and some other riders. So what's the deal, man? What's all the flat track testing? We want to hear what the scoop is and how your off season's going. So hoping to have Nicky Hayden on here in next week or two. He told me a couple weeks ago he would get on. So that's what we got going on in the coming weeks. As always, hit us up on Facebook, Flat Track Weekly Radio, and Instagram. We've been really hitting Instagram hard lately. Scotty's been doing a good job with that. It's at Flat Track Weekly Radio on Instagram. Want to give a shout out to all the guests, fans, and also to the AMA, everyone supporting the radio show, all the retweets and posts and all that stuff. And that's all I got, Scotty. We're looking forward to next week, and we'll just see everyone back here next Tuesday.
Sounds good. That's it for the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Until next week, keep it on the road or keep it on the dirt. Keep it up on two wheels. How about that? Talk to you later.
You don't have to go home straight. Or no, you don't have to go straight home, but you got to go home straight. Is that your plug line, right?
That's it. That's it. All right, sign off the race.
We'll see you later.
See you later.